Welcome back. Chucky's come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. You can check us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live all across the country on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. But join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's head coach of your Washington Commanders, coming off a 12-5 season, two playoff wins, made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. It's Coach Dan Quinn. What's up, Coach?
What's up, everybody?
Hey, Coach, you know what? Somebody tweeted me a question that I thought was interesting. And before we like dive in anything about what's going on in training camp, the question that the fan asked was, ask Coach Quinn if he had a chance to celebrate after last season. All right, it sucks you lose your last game. That sucks. Only one team doesn't feel that way at the end of the season. But after a while, did you have a chance to kind of let it all soak in that you were able to recalibrate and take a team that had four wins and get to 12-5 and win a couple of playoff games?
Right on. It's a good question. I would say, I don't know if celebrate, but man, did I have a lot of gratitude, because when you see kind of this group come together, and let's face it, man, anything that's like done that's, in my opinion, worth of consequence that I've been a part of, it's the people. And so like getting to do that with these guys, getting to, you know, build these relationships, players and staff and all the way through, it takes everybody. So I wouldn't know if to celebrate, but I like really have gratitude that we've adopted a standard. You know, this is how we get down. And I think that surpasses, you know, you don't have to ride a roller coaster of expectations, because there's an internal part of like, this is how we operate, behaviors, the way we practice, a team's identity of how we play. So getting a start on that, that was job number one at this time last year. We have to do that. And the only way we're going to do it is if we really connect as a team. So to see that take place, man, it was so much fun. And I don't want to lose any of it, because like how much fun it was. And that's why like this year starts again. So I don't look too far down the line, because I like being in the fight with everybody. So, yeah, again, there's a gratitude piece. I don't know if celebrate's the right word, but like, okay, there's a lot of pieces that are coming together that we need to get done. And that's cool as hell.
Well, I kind of wanted to ask you about that, because, you know, when you were at Atlanta, you had great success, you know, pretty quickly too. You go to the Super Bowl. I think it was your second year, right? What did you learn from that experience so that you can – look, success is not always linear, but that you can grow from that, right, and keep getting better. And you guys were so freaking good last year, kind of shocking everybody. Like, how do you manage that and yet still get better?
Yeah, EB, that's it, man. It's when you have a standard, I think that's the thing, because then you're not, you know, chasing, you know, something from the past or this amount, like – we want to get so much better, and we think that we can. And I feel like we've already gotten better, and we're just kind of getting going into training camp. But you feel standards begin to rise, and they then go to the next space and to the next space, and you bring the other people with you. And so the part I would say that I've found here is developing the leaders within. And on this team, if you were in this locker room, you would feel that, knowing that like there's a lot of leaders here. And it's not – sometimes from the outside, I would think it's the QB or, you know, somebody that gets a lot of the notoriety. But I would tell you, like, Jeremy Reeves and Percy Butler and some others have just, you know, Austin Ekeler have just as much of an impact the way they practice, the way they, you know, push one another. So, like, there's some really cool guys here that make kind of what's fun about us. Like, the team is the best part of our team. Like, these guys really want to battle for one another. And we had a three-day block here at training camp, and you guys know – locally here this week, it was hot, man. Like, they got after it, dude. So there was no tapping. It was like, I'm down and pushing one another. And so in a training camp, that's what I wanted to see. And so them giving it up for one another, like, in the heat, in going, like, that's cool.
Coach, how grateful are you that your coaching staff comes back intact? Because when you have success like you did last year, other teams come sniffing around. They want to poach your guys, but you've got the whole squad back.
Yeah, man, are we fortunate. I can't even think of a, you know, during, you know, 6 years in Atlanta where that might have happened. Cakes, it's rare, and a lot of it I attribute to the players, meaning that, like, they know there's things here ahead, and they want to be a part of it, and they like, you know, the connection of the staff. And so that's not an easy one. It's personal choices, because there were definitely, you know, moments and interviews, and so that's for that person to decide. But ultimately, it had a lot to do with the players here, knowing, man, like, that connection that they're building with them, that lasts forever. And so, like, they didn't want to miss on that, you know, of what's coming with this group. And so I was super thankful for that, for sure, bro.
Coach, we got to ask you, man. You know, it's good that Terry's there and he is holding in, so he's at practice. That's good. We see the interaction with the fans, and the fans are loving it. What do you anticipate? I know you don't have anything to do with the contract negotiations. I get that. But what do you anticipate? What's your gut telling you of when he'll start practicing, you think?
Yeah, right, Jason. It's when you go on to PUP, there's an element, you know, from the first part where, you know, there's some rehab that goes. And so for Terry specifically, you know, an ankle, you know, it's not that uncommon where towards the end of a season, you know, you have that and you're dealing with a little bit in the off season. I don't have a specific timetable on it. We're thankful that he's here and that the work's getting done. But he and Sam Cosmi, they do rehab, and some days field work, some days, you know, rehab, strengthening work. And then the afternoons meetings, and they're able to, you know, watch the walkthroughs in the evening, although they can't go through them yet. So we'll just take it, you know, step by step with he or any player really in this spot. Like, we're not going to miss anything, man, and take the next step. But I don't have a timeline to say it's, you know, 3 days or, you know, 5 days into that space. We're just going to make sure, like, he can absolutely, you know, fully be Terry and let it rip. And then we'll begin the process. And then it goes, like, then it's individual work and then some team reps. So it's kind of like a buildup to get yourself ready. At the start of training camp, that's what we did with the team. Like, we ramp up, shorter practice, a little bit longer. So when a player is coming off PUP, you really need to do the same with them because they missed that ramp up. So once that part happens, Jason will do the same thing, but I don't have a timeline of when that is yet. But that's where we're at.
Who, Coach, so I assume, you know, you've got so many options. You know, obviously, Zach Ertz had such an unbelievable year last year. Adding Debo, so exciting. But, like, so I assume they get more balls. Let's say you have a couple, you know, inter-squad scrimmages, et cetera. God forbid you have a game or two without them. Who knows? But, like, who replaces Terry? Like, who literally runs the routes, if Terry's not there, that Terry runs?
That's a good question, EB. It's the first part of camp you put in the system. And meaning, like, we're still, we call it install. So it's like, basically, hey, here's the chapters we have to know for today. Sometimes it's red zone, sometimes it's some third down, sometimes like might be short yardage. So once you get done the installs, then you start featuring who would be for this route, where we'd want to do this player, and you do some exploring right now. And one of Cliff's superpowers is finding the right people and putting them into the right locations. I really admire that about him, whether it's where Zach locates, where, you know, Debo's been so far. That part of his game, like, he is always kind of thinking into that space. So for Terry, for Debo, we've added Jalen Lane, Noah's here, Luke. So how are we putting the running backs in? What, you know, when we got some tight ends that we're excited about, how would we feature them? Like, those are the things, like, as coaches that keep you up at night in a good way to say, all right, how am I going to get this guy better? Where would I put him? You know, so coaches think that way, and it's one of the things that Cliff is elite at. And we're kind of a few more days of these installs, really up to like the New England week. And then after that, we kind of get back to say, okay, how would we put this person here? How would we put this person there? A little bit of practice back and forth. Let's see this matchup. Let's play man to man. Let's put Amos against this player. All right. Let's go, you know, the next matchup. Let's see this safety against Will Harris against Ertz. And a little bit of chess match to go for guys training, evaluating, can the route work? When you go year two as a staff, what I've been pleased to see, like, man, they're collaborating more. We were doing an end of the game scenario the other day, and the night before, it was, you know, the offensive coaches and the defensive coaches talking, defensive guys saying, this would be harder. And so that just doesn't happen all the time, man. And so to see their collaboration together, like, that's a big deal. Like, if they were, oftentimes people just think of offense and defense separate, but like, you really want to create something, like, you need the other point of view or things you wouldn't know or you might forget. And so, like, that's my example from this last block of practices, from a staff winning to say they got better because the defense told the offense, if you did it this way, it'd be more effective. and it's not better for them. You know, like it's a harder play at practice, but like that's what it's about, and that really fired me up.
All right, so we're talking to Dan Quinn from the Commanders. You guys know that. So I say this, like, I always say we because I'm a fan. I'm not some journalist or anything. I'm just a fan.
It should be.
Yeah. I'm a fan. I say we. And I say, I know we're going to score more. Like, we were so good last year. We got added 10, like, barring injury and everything crazy. Like, we're going to score even more points. But I keep seeing from the guys that are out there, Coach, that the defense is having the better of it so far early in camp. Now, is that just standard or is that just bad reporting? Or, you know, like, what's going on there?
EB, when you say we, it's not just, you're not just for the offense.
Oh, no, right. I know. I know. Listen, I'm high on Amos. Everyone's saying that guy's legit.
Yeah. Each week you kind of just think, man, like, what do we got to do to win this week? And sometimes it's scoring more. It's stealing an extra possession. So that's the way I look at it. But I do love the battling that's taken place back and forth. Yesterday, we featured lots of man-to-man, lots of deep throws, which aren't all high percentage, but you have to test it. So you could say, well, yeah, on a day like that, where there's a lot of throws over 20 yards, it's not 70% completion. Mm-hmm. And if it was, I'd have been like, oh boy, we really got problems right on the defensive side. So there's all these days, man, that go back and forth. We emphasize different things. So I get there's like reporting of, you know, who won the day or who did that. And like, if you were in the coaches meeting, like sometimes we're designing it to be really hard. Like
right.
I did a 2 minute the other day with like 40 seconds from the minus 15 to see if we could get there. And all these things, if you don't test them on the field, how are you really going to know? And so it's one thing to do it in the classroom or on video, but like you have to, it all has to be developed on the field. And that's what like this month is about. And even going against some of the other teams, you know, and practices to say, all right, let's find matchups. And that's why I'm excited to go, you know, spend a couple of days next week with Braves and the Patriots to work through the practice and then get into the game. Because sometimes the practices even have more unique things about them than the game does.
Coach, only have a couple minutes left with you. So we did this one of the times we had you on before with a little word association. I just want you to give me your quick thoughts. First thing pops into your head, Josh Connerly.
Absolute beast.
Like it.
Javon Kinlaw.
Absolute beast.
I would say, like, somebody asked me the other day, like, you know, who would you bring if there was a fight, you know? Like,
right.
If I'm going to go somewhere, like, Kinlaw's coming with me.
He's scary. He scares me a little bit, Coach. Even, like, on the TV screen, he scares me.
How about
– He's been so excellent. So I would say, like – for Kinlaw, I would think Allie.
Yeah.
How about Bill? We've learned that he goes by Bill Chicory.
One cut. He has this explosive nature that he can put his foot in the ground and absolutely explode. So when he puts that foot in the ground, he doesn't chop. He makes a decision and he goes. So I know this is not one word, but I'm giving you some information.
I want more than that. Coach, I know you like that collision between Bill and Tyler Owens. I think on day four, first day in pads, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that is, he sees you, you see him.
Yep.
That is what we call thudding. It's not from the side, but like I also like the balance and the ability to go finish runs as a running back. They're really the ones in the running game that make practice go. They don't get stopped. They finish out. So, like, that's the key. And so he's off to a good start. We got a long way to go with he and the rest of the guys. But there's a play here and there that you're like, that's it, and keep going and keep attacking. And so I love his mindset, man. Like, this dude is hungry.
Just two more for you. Marshawn Lattimore.
He's my guy.
Yeah. He is an elite competitor. And it's what I loved about him going against him. And it's what I love about him as he's here. He has really, really high standards as a competitor. And maybe it's the Ohio State thing. Him and Terry, man, they are elite competitors. Like, at the core, when they step on the lines, like they love to battle and fight for it. And like every player does, you're not in the NFL if you're not, but there are people that are also heightened into that. They're just wired in that way. And that's what I think about with Sean, like this player, man, does he love to compete.
Mm-hmm. Coach, we know you got to run. Appreciate the time. Congratulations on all the success last season, and let's keep it rocking, as you like to say, this season.
All right, man. You guys have a good one, and we'll see you out here again soon, hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Get after it.
Yep. All right, bud.
Get after it.
I wanted to do more.
Guys,
I could have done 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But
how are we going to stay after it today, Kings?
How am I going to get after it? Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to have lunch, take a nap, and then I'm going to get after it playing pickleball with my daughter around 1:30. That's nice. How I'm getting
that's
after
That's the prime of the heat. Are you? That's
he'll be inside.
Come on. You think this delicate flower is going out in that heat today? No, thank you.
All right, that was Coach Dan Quinn.
We would have gone longer, but they were telling us we had he had to go.
He had to go.
That's why I threw in the word association, because at least we can hit some of those guys quick.
We respect his time.
Yeah, yeah. If you do it right, then they'll come on again.
Hey, he wouldn't like what Linnell said about Josh Connerly.
No. He would have disagreed.
I love Linnell, and I don't doubt that he's struggling a little bit, but some of the...
He'll be all right.
Yeah, I think he's going to be just fine.
He'll be all right. If you want to chime in, you can always hit us up at 1-800-636-1067. That's the same number for the Lido Pizza text line. You can also hit us up on X at Junks Radio. Be right back. Talked about the horrific New York shooter that was trying to get to the NFL offices. I couldn't believe when I saw this tweet. Skip Bayless, who's been largely irrelevant since he was let go by Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Tweeted, thank God the New York City shooter apparently took the wrong bank of elevators and didn't make it to the NFL floors. What? He reportedly bizarrely blamed the NFL for what he believed to be his CTE suffered from playing high school football. He killed people.
Well, I mean, it's pretty insensitive.
How is there a good floor to go
there's,
to?
There's no good outcome when four people are just murdered by a gunman. Just
not that bright.
Yeah. How about you just skip, throw your phone away? You know, we don't need to see your tweets. I think your time has come and passed.
Well, is he saying that because if he had gotten to the correct floor, he would have killed more people? He could have killed 100.
I don't know. I read it and I was like, I can't believe he's saying he would rather have these people die on that floor versus the NFL die.
I don't think anybody died on the 33rd floor. I think
he died on the 33rd floor.
He took killed people in the lobby.
He got to the 33rd floor. I think he murdered one person there and then killed himself, from what I read.
Yeah, I think Skip's just saying it could have been a complete bloodbath in the NFL office.
Yeah. That's what I took from it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Of course, it's awful.
The whole thing's weird. Like, he's going to go on a spree, kills a couple, and then goes up there and just that quickly gives himself up. I don't know. It's kind of weird. And how do you shoot yourself in the chest with a weapon like that? I don't even know how you do that. I wouldn't know.
It's terrible.
I don't get the whole thing.
But what do you think's going through his mind when he's driving from Vegas to New York?
I don't know. You leave your car there. Like, I'll never see that again.
He's going on a suicide mission. He knows it the whole time.
I guess they say they never disclosed what it was, but they said he had, I guess, documented mental health issues. You know.
Yes.
Immediately they said that. So I don't know what they were. I mean, I know he blamed CTE or whatever, but I don't know what they were. Like, was he schizophrenic? Or I have no idea.
I don't know. I thought when I read it, I was like, oh, you could interpret it different ways. You're right. Maybe saying there would have been a larger bloodbath. But
yeah.
Well, how did you interpret it? Just because the
when I first read it, I was like, whoa, he's kind of like saying that. Like he's valuing the NFL lives more than the other lives.
I think he was saying that if he had got to another floor with more people, he would have killed those people and there would have been 30 or 40 dead.
Yeah.
As opposed to four.
Right.
That's the way I take it. It's an awful story. Horrible.
What's going on with the tsunamis? Are they still coming? Do we miss all that?
I think
that window done?
I believe there was a warning put out, and now it's been reduced to whatever the level is below warning.
I mean, at some point, I thought they said like 15 waves in one. I don't know if it's Japan or Hawaii, but like 15 waves that were sort of attributed to that had come through. Now, I don't think any of them were like some of these catastrophic ones that we've seen, you know, in years past. But like sometimes they'll say, oh, watch out for a tsunami. And they're like, oh, yeah, it was 6 inches higher this time.
Right.
I think these were like maybe 10 or 12 feet higher, if not more. But I don't think it was like wiped out a town of people.
Right.
No, I just see minor injuries, damage and minor injuries.
But it is mind-blowing to me that people are just, I guess there was a big wave contest. I'm sure you guys saw the same video. And I think it was in Hawaii. And they were just still hanging out. And I think they had plenty of warning that a tsunami was coming, but they're into big waves. So some of them were running towards it.
That I don't understand. That's hard to comprehend.
Yeah, because it's the unknown. You don't know, right?
If I hear tsunami warning, I am so far inland.
Yeah.
I remember being trained
at that point.
Remembering of that catastrophic tsunami of 10, 15 years ago, wherever that was. There was one in particular that wiped out a whole town. I can't remember where it was.
Was it Thailand, maybe?
Maybe it was in Thailand.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
And the one thing they say you learn is when there's a big receding, I don't know, when it, all of a sudden the ocean recedes, watch out.
It's coming.
That was the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, claimed 230,000 lives.
That's
230,000.
I mean, you can't even wrap your brain around that.
It's incomprehensible.
Yeah.
That loss of life.
I'm seeing here that the Hawaii tsunami warning was downgraded to advisory.
Right.
But it was an 8.8 magnitude.
I mean, that's a big one. That's a big earthquake.
That's a
big boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's affecting Russia, Northern California, Hawaii. Yeah, it's a big deal.
By the way, Valdez, we didn't talk about this yet, did we? That Isaiah Likely went down. Did we talk about this yet? No. I guess maybe he won't be ready for week one or anything, but it's not going to be a season-ending thing, right? He's got a small foot fracture, went down yesterday in practice.
Last play of practice in one-on-ones. Oh. And then he was carted off. Harbaugh said afterwards that he rolled his ankle. They're going to do an MRI this today. And then it's just reported that he has a
foot fracture. So I mean, it's bad, but not catastrophic.
I think a lot of people are estimating maybe week six he'll be back.
Ooh, that's a loss.
Substantial.
Yeah.
It takes about 6 to 12 weeks for a foot fracture.
Isn't he also in the process of inking an extension too?
There are rumblings that they're going to ink an extension.
Okay.
Something around the $12 million a year.
It's pretty good.
So last year, Likely had 42 catches for almost 500 yards, 6 touchdowns. And then he had a touchdown in the playoffs against the Bills. So
in steps Charlie Kohler.
He's a good young player. Valdez hit me to him before he broke out, which I appreciated a few years ago.
Apparently Dan Quinn enjoyed the interview.
Oh, very good. Well, we enjoyed having him.
Somebody was definitely, the PR guy, or whatever, is definitely, I think, was handing him a card to say, pointing at our names.
100%.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, Cakes.
Yeah, he's no
he's
way
pointing
he knows.
At EB. No. And so
I was going to say, because when he said EB, I said, oh, my, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
He's listening every morning.
But Dan Quinn, we've seen him in pressers and with the media, he makes a point of addressing journalists by name.
But I still think he has time to
journalists
listen.
Journalists and AWOD, because remember when Adam asked him a question, he was like,
it's impressive.
Yeah. Good question, Adam.
Yeah. He cares about people's names. I do to an extent.
I'm just
There are some people still wandering around these hallways that I don't know their names.
That was a Cal Ripken hallmark too.
Yeah,
like certain people.
Val's good at that.
When they get interviewed, they would use the person's name.
Right.
Let's go to Maureen. Hey, Maureen, longtime listener. How are you?
Hey guys, I literally just pulled over. I'm driving for work down towards Richmond, and I was like, I got to pull over to the rest stop and call you guys. But that interview was so great, and you were just referencing it. But that's 100% what struck me when all of a sudden he's saying, "Hey, EB, hey, Kate." I mean, just what a change, and just so excited for this next season. And I remember Feinstein specifically talking about that, you know, every Friday. Just what a difference. The ownership, when they were addressed the media, Dan Quinn, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's
night and day.
I love it. Yeah. It's night and day. Yeah. The
culture 100%. Has completely changed.
I wanted to ask him is, how do you wrap your brain around the fact that, I mean, there's no way you're going to be like 90% on fourth down again. There's no way we're going to win 6 games in a row in the last possession.
Right.
Like, I know we're better. But that's like it's unsustainable.
There might be some regression there. That's only natural.
Yeah, but part of, at least for one season and in college, part of Jaden's ability is being able to perform in the clutch. Like, giving him the ball at the end of the game, I'd feel more confident than not that he's going to deliver.
Yeah, I just don't feel confident that we're going to convert all those fourth downs.
I'm pretty confident
when you have Jaden,
they'll convert a lot of them.
When you have Jaden,
it's absolutely a cheat code quarterback.
I understand.
That helps you pick up that short yardage that you need, and sometimes longer yardage.
Right.
He wasn't picking up just fourth and ones all the time.
Okay.
But I like that DQ, he just goes for it. He just He takes them out of his pants and he puts them on the table. By the way, speaking of that, Valdez, can you go back and substitute Dan Quinn's name in for all of my Ben Johnson love during the offseason? Because I'm in the tank for DQ. Even though Ben Johnson was my guy, I love me some DQ. He's my guy. He's here now. Ben Johnson, he's a little fling. Oh, he's in Chicago. Who cares about him?
You are the king of 180s.
I never really wanted Ben Johnson.
You are the king of that.
I will be honest. I was smitten by Ben Johnson and his high-flying offense.
It's a weasel.
Hey, can I explain?
It's kind of a weasel.
Yeah. Can I explain the one-score fourth-quarter regressions?
Sure.
To people a little bit better? It's not that Jaden will fail on a game-winning or game-tying drive. It's that in these one-score games, Jaden and the team may not be in the position to win or tie on a fourth quarter drive because maybe the defense, they allow the other team's offense to chew more clock. So the situation is still the same where it is a one score game late in the fourth quarter, but the scenario isn't always the same. For instance, if Jaden Daniels gets the ball with 2 minutes to go and it's like the Eagles game, well, what if it's the Eagle game scenario all over and there's only 15 seconds left? Like, that's how you would regress on these fourth quarter games.
Well, of course, if there's 15 seconds left, the chance of you succeeding is very, very low. Of course.
I know, but I'm saying these...
But I'm saying there's going to be times where it's the last possession, Matt. There's 2 minutes left, and we just fail.
That's true, too, but it's also... It's the same stat. So if you lose by three to the Cowboys, you know, on paper, if Jaden gets the ball with 15 seconds left, it's not necessarily
I hear what you're
able
saying.
To do, and you
it's
can't
not
be heroic.
Apples to apples,
but
for sure.
but it's still a fourth quarter, you know, loss in a one score game.
Understood. I'm just saying, all things being equal, though, like, I just don't think we're going to be able to convert.
You're saying you're not going to get the breaks that you had, the number of breaks you had last year.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we ran hot.
They were 20 for 23, which was 87% on fourth
downs. Which is by far the best. Yeah. The okay, league's
second place was 72%.
What if they slip back to 80%, 78 to 80%?
I think that's still pretty damn good. That would still be a league record before last year. I think they were like above and beyond normal. I think they blew away the record.
They did at 87%, but there were three teams in the 70s. All really good teams. Eagles, Chiefs, Bills.
Yeah. You just have to come
all
to
with
grips
really
with
good quarterbacks.
Jaden Daniels is that good. Yeah. Jaden Daniels is that special.
Remember, I have zero doubts about him. Zero.
Remember there were some times where it was fourth and seven, fourth and nine. I mean, it's fourth and one's okay.
Yeah.
Doable. But there we had some long fourth down conversions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I mean, those are the ones that probably
come back
down.
Those are typically the ones where he just took off running.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm bullish. I'm just also a little bit scared. I am bullish. I mean, I think we're a better football team for sure on paper until we start losing guys. For sure, we're better.
Well, I mean, it's an old team, so don't be surprised if there are some key injuries to some of the older players.
I don't mind little nicks. I just don't. We can't afford like losing guys for the year.
Right.
You know, especially any of our top guys.
Well, can't control that.
What was your interpretation of what he said about Marshawn Lattimore, your guy?
Extreme competitor.
I mean, I don't know what else you wanted him to say.
Healthy.
You tried to get something out of him. When we went to the happy hour, you tried to get something out of him on Marshawn there.
Yeah, I wanted to just find out how he looked.
Mm-hmm.
And, he skirted it. He didn't really want to talk about it. But, I mean, it seems like, and it's not just from what Dan said. I mean, from everyone that's out at camp, the media, they say he looks great. Secondary looks great.
Yeah, the secondary saying is markedly improved. I haven't heard that Marshawn in particular looks great, but I've heard that he certainly looks healthier.
Yeah, I saw Scott Abraham have a conversation with him, and he said that he's felt himself since minicamp.
His hamstring's good. Squared away there.
All right, good.
That's good.
Should give you some confidence.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Hey, some of the games they wouldn't even throw his way, and then he faced.
That was one game.
And then he faced
one game against New Orleans.
Right. Then he faced
AJ Brown.
A.J. Brown and Mike Evans, it was a different story.
They look like same.
But those guys are great.
They're going to beat a lot of corners.
Exactly.
I know.
But you're right. I mean, Lattimore did not play well.
He was getting smoked.
He didn't play well.
He didn't look like the guy that – I don't think they got the guy.
But he's also motivated.
Okay, all right.
You know, he's motivated.
You can be motivated all you want. If you're broken, you're broken.
Well, if he's broken, then
I didn't feel like he got smoked by, like, beaten by 10, 15 yards. He was, like, right there.
It's hard to get beat when you're grabbing him.
Right. He's very physical.
You can't get beat by 15 yards when you jump on top of the guy.
He's a physical corner. Yeah. He's a competitor.
Yeah, I like that.
Coach Quinn just told us.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page here on the Junkies. All right, let's open up EB's entertainment page, which is driven by BMW of Fairfax.
That's right. DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW of Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager. Mention me. Promise she'll set you up with an amazing sales assistant. If you have to wait for anything, you go over there, get those M&Ms and pretzels, get some hot coffee.
What kind of Gatorade. M&Ms? Plain M&Ms? Peanut? What are we talking about here?
I think they're...
I'm guessing plain.
Cakes? I think they're plain.
Okay.
I'm more of a peanut guy if I had to choose.
Oh,
I think I can do either.
I think they're plain. But they got all that good stuff over there. Good. They'll set you up. They got great vehicles, all that. Check out their website, bmwfairfax.com. All right, so I'm just seeing, I guess, I don't know if this is today or yesterday, but the funeral for Ozzy, kind of sad when you see it. It's like a big public thing. Sharon Osbourne breaks down in tears at their emotional funeral procession for Ozzy as she's joined by their children, Jack, Kelly, Amy, Lewis. I don't know, who's Lewis? And thousands of Black Sabbath fans.
Not sure about Lewis.
I don't know. Of course.
Does he have another daughter also from a previous relationship?
Beyond Amy.
Oh, Amy Osbourne is her name?
Amy is one of the daughters. Oh, yeah, okay. She's the one that was never on the show.
That's probably who I'm thinking of.
Maybe Lewis is her husband. Okay. I have no idea.
Lewis is his son from his first marriage.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Says here he's lived largely outside the spotlight.
Yeah. So, I just feel terrible. Terrible. I mean, Ozzy lived a great life, but man, just feel terrible. Anytime you have to put your parent down like that, it's awful.
It sucks.
And then to do it in the public spotlight like that, that's tough. Speaking of, you know, we had all that celebrity death last week.
By the way, Mike Marr hit me to the fact he just stumbled upon, I believe, No More Tears by Ozzy Osbourne.
I've played it probably 50 times in the last 4 days.
I don't even know if I know that one by name.
It's a lock you
it's
a, would know.
It's
it.
One I've heard a million times. 100%.
You don't know it by name, but you know it by
okay.
sound.
Okay. Play it in the background, Valdez. Brooke Hogan, you know, speaking of celebrity death, Hulk obviously passed last week. Terrible deal, right? I guess she had herself removed from Hulk's will back in 2023. She didn't want to have any battles, didn't want to be involved at all. She had basically been estranged from her parents for like at least 8 years or so.
Hulkamania is running wild.
From both parents.
I think so, yeah. She even held some, she had some anger and animosity towards the mother too. Of course, Hogan died last week at the age of 71. They say that Brooke, who's 37 now, will receive some money from a life insurance policy that she was the beneficiary of. Mm. And she's going to put that money towards her kids' college funds. But she doesn't really want any of his money. That's his thing. She doesn't, you know, I guess
good
credit
point
to
you
her.
Bring up. I think I have a life insurance policy that expires a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to get more life insurance when it lapses?
Well, I mean, you had it for 20 years, right? Why would you cut it off?
I mean, I guess I could get another policy.
Because the return is a lot less.
And
it's trying to figure out if it's worth it.
Yeah, is it worth it?
Oh, I don't know if it's
worth the squeeze. I don't know. I mean,
you'd have to look at the numbers, but
I'm asking questions here.
I mean, you spent all that money for 20 years, monthly for 20 years to take care of your family
if
something happens.
I don't worry about it. Like, it's a sunken cost. I don't worry about the cost of life insurance.
You could get another policy for cheaper. You probably get a cheaper policy.
Yeah, 100%. Because once the policy lapses,
they're not giving your family big bucks now unless you pay big bucks.
Yeah,
you're right. But once the policy lapses, then the premiums become absurd. It's like it goes from like $40 a month to like $400 a month.
Correct.
There's no chance of paying that.
I mean, talk to somebody in the business.
Yeah, I need to talk to somebody. You'd have a one-on-one.
Cakes.
Do you have it both ways where you get a return if Amy dies?
She has a policy too.
Yes.
Yeah. Not sure when her policy lapses. I know when mine is up. Not sure when hers is up. Maybe I want to look into that.
I should look into that. I have no idea.
Should look
ours.
Into those things.
I don't even know if mine's still going. I have no idea.
Not stunned.
Tom Cruise is out and about, kind of making it an official. With
he's got some arm candy.
With his girlfriend, it appears, Ana de Armas.
Mm-hmm. How did you like her in the original Knives Out, EB?
I thought she was great. She was amazing. Tom is, what, 63 now? I think I saw...
How old is she?
She's maybe 37, something like that. But these photos of Tom, I don't know where they are. They're in Vermont, I guess. And he's in all black with a hat. And, you know, I guess he's trying to go somewhat incognito. He looks it's like black. He's 45. Like, he looks 20 years younger than his chronological...
What are they doing?
You know what? You would too if you had $600 million in the bank.
I mean, he looks amazing.
We all would.
He looks so good.
They just had a weekend getaway in Vermont.
I guess.
I know you haven't seen her in Knives Out, but I'm going to give you an Ana de Armas real movie rec for a movie that you would probably like. I think Valdez is in on this movie too. War Dogs. She's in it with Miles Teller and Jonah Hill.
Why would I like that one?
Because it's a good movie. It's an entertaining movie with a good story.
Doesn't mean I would like it. I guess they were just, they went to Vermont, Jason, after they went to an Oasis concert at Wembley Stadium in London. And then they arrived early Saturday in the quaint town of Woodstock, Woodstock, Vermont.
I have not been the biggest Oasis fan over the years.
I don't know why.
Some of the clips from their shows... They'll blow your mind. Like how much the audience is into the shows.
Into it. Oh, yeah. Over there in England. Oh,
and
they love them.
I was hanging out with Barstool Nate in Vegas, and he went to the first show in Cardiff. And he said it was unbelievable. He said just the scene from before, like hanging out in the town until the concert started, the vibe in the
stadium.
They
are mega, mega superstars. Even today.
Right, they're mega superstars.
I mean, in the 90s they were, but even today.
I mean, the scenes at Wembley, like... How the crowd was so into the show. I feel like I should go, even though I'm not a big Oasis mark. It's kind of intriguing me.
Don't talk about it. Go.
I should probably go.
Dennis Quaid, Cakes. He's in the news. Do you know how old Dennis Quaid is now?
I'm gonna guess 76.
Dennis Quaid. That seems a little
old. No, that's a little old. 68.
He's 71 years old. He's married now to his fourth wife.
Jeez.
Okay.
He loves getting married.
39 years younger than him. She's 32.
Wow.
He says it's paradise being with his wife, Laura, after three divorces.
By the way, Laura?
26 years between Cruz and de Armas.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty significant.
So this one was how many years? 39?
39.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty big.
Is she an actress? Who is she?
I don't even know. I think she's like a businesswoman. She might have been running one of his like... I don't know, funds or trusts.
Dennis Quaid was married to Meg Ryan at one point?
I believe so, yeah.
Certainly were at least dating.
I think they were married.
Okay, that was his second
definitely
wife.
Married.
Speaking of celebrity couples, Liam Neeson and Pam Anderson, I guess they're going public.
I just saw that.
I think they're in a movie together, too.
Pam is being weird now, like she's just going all natural.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I say going weird, but it's just we're so used to Pam being all...
Like glammed up.
Glammed up.
Yeah.
She's ditching that. Mm-hmm. You borderline don't recognize her anymore.
Right.
Right? But they say that they're enjoying a budding romance, Cakes, in the early stages. They met as co-stars on the new comedy, The Naked Gun.
Mm-hmm.
They both have two sons. And I think I saw them like making out on a red carpet or something.
Okay.
What is Liam Neeson's kind of catchphrase? I don't know if that's right for the Taken movies, EB. I'll give you the first couple words.
All right.
He has a very particular...
I remember something about, like, he's looking for the girl or something.
His daughter. Yes, yeah. He's looking for the
girl. He has a very particular
blank.
You're going to get this. I have faith.
All right, give me the first.
First letter of the next one. A very particular S.
No, give me the first word.
Okay, I'll give you the of, too. A very particular blank of blank.
Do you know
blank.
What it is?
Everybody knows what it is.
Everyone here knows what it is 100%. Except for me. I'm the only guy in the country right now that doesn't know. Hold on. What's the first letter? S?
A very particular S of
S.
S.
What's the second letter?
of the first word.
Of the
E.
S.
E.
Send off.
Right. Set of blank. I have a very particular set of blank.
And it starts with S.
He's got a very
set of eight. Right, kicks.
Oh, set of eights. I love.
What is this third S? Like that S, what is the next letter?
SK.
Set of
skis.
Set of
skies.
Skis. Skis.
This is great.
What is it?
Skis.
Hold up. You can't figure out SK. SK high.
Right?
It's not skis.
Yeah, skis. It's skis.
He tells people he's got a very particular setup.
It's actually Skittles.
You boys want to go skiing with me?
I have a set. So the first word is set.
Yeah.
I have a set.
I'm giving you four words. Just figure out the fifth word, which starts SKI.
Set of
skin.
Skittles.
What is it?
He likes Skittles.
He's got a
set of
skills.
Skills.
That's it.
I have a set of skills. That's his big phrase.
He has a very particular set of skills.
That's his big catchphrase.
I mean, it's part of a pretty famous speech that he makes into the phone when he's going to go track down.
Can you get the audio?
He's going to track down Marco.
So can you do a Liam Neeson impression?
I mean, I can do the, hold on. Hold on. Let me wet my whistle here.
So this is where he's like threatening the guy that's got his.
He just calmly tells people, "I'm about to beat your ass."
Hold on.
He said, "I'm going to kill you."
Yeah.
When I find you, I'm going to kill you.
He goes, "I have a very particular set of skills. I will hunt you. I will find you, and I will kill you." Something along those lines.
You have it, Valdez.
And then Marco says, "Good luck."
Yeah.
I gotta find it. I gotta make sure it's no cursing.
Oh, okay.
There's no cursing.
Sorry,
in that.
I don't think I would have ever gotten it. I remember seeing that movie though and liking it.
I think that's one of the rare movies
wasn't
you've
it
seen.
Like 30 years ago, like that movie came out forever
ago. 20 years ago.
Yeah, like
15 to 20 years ago.
speaking of new movies, Happy Gilmore 2. Do you know how many views it got in 3 days on Netflix?
A billion.
No, 46 million.
That's a lot.
46.7 million. Making it the largest U.S. opening weekend in Netflix history.
That's because everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
The first Taken movie came out in 2008, not 20, 30 years ago.
All right, 17.
17 years ago.
Pretty close.
I said 15 to 20 years ago.
Oh, I thought somebody said 30.
I might
what?
Have.
What?
I probably did. TNT's adding 19 Savannah Bananas games. Somebody tell Rizzo. He loves the Savannah Bananas.
Hey, maybe he'll be their new GM.
That's a low blow.
What?
That's a low blow.
The Katy Perry
it's a joke.
Hey, can you pitch on stilts?
Katy Perry is apparently
just look at the back of his banana.
Rebounding from Orlando Bloom with Justin Trudeau. They were seen having a little dinner or coffee together.
Who?
Justin Trudeau and Katy Perry.
Okay, nice.
And then last but not least.
Has he seen Orlando Bloom's hog? He's got a lot to live up to.
There's a woman that's going viral because she thinks she caught her husband cheating because somehow she saw that there was a 120-pound weigh-in on their smart scale when she wasn't there. She's just assuming that he's smashing some.
I mean,
well, it's a lock. He weighs 200 pounds, so there was like 200.
What if it was
120 and 120.
What if he was weighing like luggage or something?
By the way, 120 pound luggage.
I don't have 120 pound luggage
in your house.
I put my luggage on my scale. That's a big fee.
She says her ex was a cheater, but they were separated at the time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Who cares? I'm just saying. Do you think that she did bust him?
100%.
Why would his flame get under the dumb scale?
Yeah.
That makes
she's
no
in the
sense
bathroom
to
and took a shower and
then she's gonna get on
scale.
The scale.
Yeah,
that seems stupid.
You don't do that. You never step on a scale.
Oh, I avoid scales.
Not when he's creeping with somebody.
Yeah, and I definitely wouldn't at some chick's house.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't want to leave any sort of footprints.
Would you go to the scale? Oh, come on.
That's someone else's house.
No shit. Well, okay. I guess
you don't think that that's how you don't think you doubt it.
I have a very particular set of scales.
I don't know. There could be an alternate explanation. I don't know what it is. Maybe the dog climbed on it or something.
120 pounder. I mean, I know there's some.
I don't know. How accurate are those things anyway?
They seem Occam's razor, no dude. The obvious answer. It's right there in front of you. Coming up next, Bears Verluga is going to join us in the Washington Post. We will talk a little bit about the Washington Nationals, the trade deadline, whether Mackenzie Gore will be dealt from Washington. That's next here on the Junkies.